about endless pop culture questions only one podcast knows. Nerds That Know. Rated R.
Welcome back, Nerds That Know. Bobby is here with her assistant co-host and press newbie, Ella. And we are here interviewing...
James Bostwick.
Jackson.
Jackson Bostwick, sorry.
It's all right. It's her first interview. We're still learning. Ella? All right. So Ella has told us that she is a Marvel fan for sure, but is willing to go to the DC side for you. So, go ahead and start.
So your name is Ellen, right?
Yes. Ella.
Oh, we can do that to each other then.
Yes.
And I'm James and you're Ellen. Okay.
Hey, that works. Nicknames are a sign of affection.
Okay. No, what, you have studied DC stuff or?
I have.
Or Marvel?
I will watch Marvel, but there are some.
You've read the comic books for DC.
I've read quite a few comic
books. Have you read Shazam?
I have not.
You see that comic book over there? That's the Shazam. And those were done in 1974 when they first came out.
I have a question for you.
Well, okay.
What do you think about the new Captain Marvel?
He's not Captain Marvel. They call him Shazam. Are you talking about the woman?
The woman.
Yeah, the woman.
Or what do you versus the original Captain Marvel?
Now, what do you think? I mean, come on. Is this Bruce Jenner taking a little bit of a change in sex to get... Holy cow. No. God love her. She's no more Captain Marvel than I am Wonder Woman. Come on. So I don't think that. And same with the new movie Shazam. I mean, it's a cartoon. It's a SpongeBob SquarePants, you know. It's for the kids, little tykes who love those Jim Carrey butt jokes. So, no, I don't think anything. And same with her. Fine, she's got her thing going, but no, I don't agree with it. Do we have some air silence here? We don't want people to drop.
Was your... I forgot.
It's okay.
I forget.
So, Ella will have more questions for you about Shazam and the whole DC universe. I actually want to talk to you a little bit about the Tron stuff.
Okay.
All right. So, I very much enjoyed the original. Well, and actually was not super disappointed in the remake, which doesn't often happen. What are your thoughts?
As far as what? The remake? No.
Yeah.
No comparison. You can't compare the two.
No. They're very, very different.
The first one was totally innovative for his time. The second one just sort of flopped. And, I, being in the first one, it's a whole different thing. Now, for me, when I was filming it, I couldn't tell where I was because they used sodium screen to do it. So we had no backdrops. We're just on these catwalks and stuff and just platforms with this big sodium. That's what the Disney calls them because they're yellowish green. They're not green screen. They're not blue screen. They're sodium screen. Anyway, you don't know where you are. So when the movie came out, I couldn't find out what the Sam Hill I was doing. They had all of this stuff in the background. It's so far ahead of time. It's time. It was very interesting. But I thoroughly enjoyed doing it.
So on that same vein, the movies from the 70s, 80s were done... Some of the sci-fi and the comic book heroes and whatnot were done in such a way that was so advanced and so beyond its time that I feel like when they try to do a remake now or even try to do something which is considered to be fresh and new, it still falls flat in comparison. We have so much more technology now and so much less innovation.
Well, the problem is now it's a carnival ride. You go there and all you're seeing is a CGI. You don't see the story. There's no story. Transformers, I go to sleep. How many times can you see these guys run around? I mean, it doesn't mean a darn thing. So as a result, you lose interest in it. You don't understand what the superhero is about and what he's trying to do, because you got all of this CGI makes it so easy for him. Now, they don't, you can tell by the writing. The writing is just trying to, it's a knockoff, like they did with the new Shazam. They couldn't come with something new, so they have to make fun of it. They made a spoof of it, just like they did with Adam West and Batman. That's not Batman. Batman is a serious crime fighter, not somebody that goes around and has fun doing it with Bob, pow, pam, boom, you know, same bat channel, same bat time next week. No, you don't do stuff like that with a superhero. At C.C. Beck, he didn't like the original Captain Marvel serial with Tom Tyler, which I like, by the way, because Captain Marvel was throwing guys off of the parking structures and, you know, and shooting them down, mowing them down, and beating the crap out of them. Well, the way I played this and the way it was like in the, of course, Captain Marvel in the comic books is a rough guy, too. Mm-hmm. But he does it in such a way that it's not as vicious and mean as some of the stuff that Tyler did. I love the Adventures of Captain Marvel. But as a result, you lose a lot of the story. CC told me, he said, Jackson, the way you portrayed this is exactly the way I envisioned that character. In fact, I even have a picture of me holding him up, and he signed it to my offspring. So it's very different now because there's nothing innovative. They can't come up with something, so they got to take something that's already been there, that's tried and true, and bastardize it.
Now, I am obviously a huge Wonder Woman fan. I grew up watching Linda Carter. Wonder Woman! And I cannot stand the new movies. They feel like they mess up her origin. And the very first comic book, this one over on my right, ever read, was Wonder Woman. I got her a couple of the originals.
Yes.
I got them as reprints because I'm not that good of an aunt. But, you know, so I got her interested in the originals and in the comics, growing up with that.
When you got me those, the new movie, Wonder Woman, I was actually very disappointed when they didn't have the trials. I was quite disappointed in that.
Okay.
So I went to sleep. I just saw it the other night. Because it happened to be on the TV when I was working out in the gym, and that final battle scene put me to sleep. It was one thing after another. When are you can't kill each other, so you just, what are you doing? Throwing special effects at each other.
Yeah.
Terrible.
So the question that I had out of that whole build up was, you know, working with Linda Carter and, you know, doing all of, you know, the original Captain Marvel, you know, with the magic of Shazam. So, what favorite memory or, you know, experience working with all of these, you know, icons?
Oh, you mean that he incorporates
himself? Yes.
Well, you really can't show them other than they are there. I mean, how do you show the strength of Hercules? You know, what you do is you push a car aside or lift a tractor trailer out of somebody's way or save a horse from under a tree. That's that. How do you do the stamina of Atlas? Or how do you do? You only have a certain amount of time you do it. Those are just there to make the character what he is. You don't really show them. He is all one, all in one. The power of Zeus. Zeus has a tremendous power. You just don't show it, but it's there. That's why they ask about Superman and Captain Marvel, who would win? Well, Captain Marvel, because he's got the magic. And plus, he's got all those heroes behind him. Mm-hmm. Superman is just an alien. And an alien in a cape. But he's got a definite weakness, and that's Krypton. What is the weakness of Captain Marvel? Billy Batson can't say Shazam if they put a gag in his mouth. And that's exactly what they do. In some of the comics, they gag him and he can't say Captain Marvel. So as a result, I mean, Shazam. So as a result, that's his weakness. Otherwise, he doesn't have one.
What I've been told was that you were a part of the original Justice League, correct?
I don't know that. I did, because the way we did it, it was a Saturday morning show. So we didn't have any of that stuff.
What was it like working with the other superheroes?
Never did. I would like to have done that, but our show was just sort of Saturday morning, we were very restricted. We couldn't throw any punches. We couldn't put any kids in jeopardy or anything. We could use no foul language like they did the Shazam movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do any of that stuff. None of that. It had to be. And in fact, Billy Batson had to ride around in a motorhome with an older man called Mentor because they it wouldn't be right to have a young kid going by himself around in a motorhome. And that's why they had to do that.
Yes.
So there's so many things that we were restricted by.
Okay.
As well as budget.
But of course, even with the budget constraints and all of the restraints from the network, it's still an iconic show that holds up today.
It's one of the original shows before they recreated all of this stuff and turned it into crap.
That's exactly right. And it was pure. That's a good name. It was pure. Just like Billy Batson. And the reason the original Shazam picked Billy Batson was why? Because he was pure of heart. And that show was pure.
All right. So before we sign off, Ella, do you have any last questions?
I do not.
All right. Well, then my final question for you is, would you want to actually have the powers of Captain Marvel and that responsibility as well?
Well, that's hard to say because it's fictitional. And that's like to say, would you like to have the powers of Jesus? No, you can't do that. I'd say it's fun playing it, but nobody's going to have those powers. So all you can do is just imagine it, go home and sit down and say, yeah, that would be fun.
Thank you so much for your time today. This is Bobby and Ella. We are the Nerds That Know. And do you want to try his name one more time?
And we were...
Jackson.
And Jackson...
Bostwick.
Well, thank you, Ellen. I mean...
Thank you so much. Hi, Nerds That Know. Bobby's here with a special guest host.
Gabriella, her niece.
Yeah, this is the one that's really mean to me all the time. We are here at Colorado Springs Comic Con, and Ella is getting ready to do her first interview with...
My name is Jennifer Swerwood. I'm the creator, writer, artist of the series The Farrokin.
Right. So this is a graphic novel series that, as we have been told by your significant other partner, booth mate person,
yes,
is unlike any other graphic novel out there because...
It is based on real science, and I use all kinds of consultants to make sure it's all as real as possible, from physicists to homicide detectives to special forces and everything in between, to ground the series in reality as much as possible.
So what made you want to, A, write a graphic novel, and B, be so factually based?
I've always been a fan of comics. I used to draw from Spider-Man comic books. Batman was my favorite and like my entire family's favorite superhero when we were kids. So I've just always liked comics and graphic novels. And I've just always loved science, too. And I'm one of those people that kind of nitpick the science fiction that's portrayed as real science. So I just wanted to make sure that that didn't happen in my series. And this really negates that, and going super in depth with it, people love it. And I just did it because I just wanted to really make it science fact with science fiction. Wow. And it just creates something really unique, and people love it.
So you're also the artist, not just the creator and the writer and the researcher, but you're also the artist, and the art that we're seeing around here, we'll throw some pictures up on our website. It's so incredible, and it's dark, and it's detailed.
It's intense. It's nice.
What's your favorite part about the art, Ella?
Just the reality, the way it looks.
Okay.
How it looks so realistic.
Did you go to school for art? Or?
I did, yes. Okay. I have a degree in graphic design, illustration, and fine art. It was almost like a triple major. So
it sounds like you were very busy.
Yes, but I loved every bit of it. And I can draw from the simplest thing to making a photo drawing look like a photo. So as realistic as I want to take it, I can take it there. So it's just this way I can kind of do it the way I want to, you know?
So what's your favorite thing to draw when you're not doing your graphic novels?
I actually like painting. I like oil painting. It's my favorite.
I do too.
And yes, oil is great.
Ella is also a budding artist.
That is awesome.
I draw, not very realistic, but I can draw a good mountain scene.
That's awesome. I don't do landscapes a whole lot, but the whole reason I draw people and paint people a lot is because I was told in college that people were the hardest things to draw realistically, and I love a challenge. So I went on it head on, you know, and like the first portrait I had ever done compared to like my most recent is like two different artists. So, and that was, the first one was with no direction whatsoever. And then, you know, just the more you do art, the better you're going to get at it naturally. So
how long have you been doing this graphic novel? How many volumes are currently out?
So there are currently 4 out. The fifth one comes out in December. I've been doing this technically since about 2013. I gave myself quite a bit of time to do the research before I even started writing part one. And that one came out in 2015. And then I've had a book come out every year since.
Okay.
You said it was a series, correct?
Yes.
How many books do you plan on having in your series?
So far planned, I think, like additional books or like total?
Total.
So far, I think there's 7 planned.
Mm-hmm.
It will continue after that. But what I'll do is I'll have a finale for the continued storylines. And then from there on out, I will do like just graphic novels with individual stories that you don't have to follow along. You don't have to start with part one. You can just get that one. And that's a whole book in itself. It's a whole volume.
So what is the storyline based in?
Well, it's a superhero series. So it is based in modern times. Like part one, you immediately see him get covered in all kinds of liquid metal in an explosion in a lab, and everyone does what they can just to try and save him. And as he's in a coma, detectives are brought in to figure out what happened, and they find it wasn't an accident and it was meant for somebody else. And the man it's meant for is found in an alley 2 days later, but he's left a bunch of clues for the detectives that leads to who actually did it. So it's actually a sci-fi mystery thriller. And there's a little bit of horror in there as well for the origin series. And that's, I just like to just merge in a bunch of genres for a modern storyline.
What city does it take place in? Is it a real city?
It's a fictional city,
okay.
But it does. It's actually meant to somewhat resemble Washington, state Washington.
Why did you plan on making your drawings a bit darker?
Because of the content. It is a little bit of a darker storyline. And if I draw things darker in the way that I've done them with the amount of shadows instead of inks, it creates more of a noir atmosphere. So it's just kind of, it pulls the reader in a little more doing it that way.
Okay. What else do you want to ask, kiddo?
How successful are your books?
They're quite successful. I've been a guest at San Diego Comic-Con for the past 2 years, and I will be returning again this next year for sure. They're being accepted all over the place. We've had a few directors talk to me about movies or TV shows. I haven't heard anything that I've liked yet, so I have not agreed to anything. But yeah, they're pretty successful, especially considering how short of a time they came out.
Because they're still so relatively new in the grand scheme of comics.
Yes.
So if you were to take it to the big screen or the small screen, do you have like a dream cast in mind?
Not necessarily. I've been hearing a lot that people think John Bernthal would be a great Farokin, which I agree, he's a great actor. But I don't know. The only person that was suggested to me that I agreed was him. But I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into it.
If you were to put it on, make it into a movie or a TV series, how like the book would you want it to be? How close to the book?
Well, I'd like to be fairly close. I don't mind if like they add things to it. Taking things out, I'm not a huge fan of, unless it's like a minor detail.
Like a minor detail that the producer doesn't like, or
like, I think it would be like a bigger deal if they changed the Farokin's hair, because he's got that kind of faux hawk going on, and it's kind of it's almost essential to the character, really. I mean, it's the characters talk about his hair sometimes, and just so taking something like that out, I think I would have an issue with, but like changing his hair color, I wouldn't be too upset about that. If they make his hair black instead, or blonde, or
No, I completely understand that. Like, loved the Dresden File books, and when they did like the one season, you know, he drove a Jeep instead of a Blue Beetle, and the Blue Beetle was its own character in the books.
Yeah,
and I'm like, he's driving a Jeep that's not beat up. I'm not comfortable with this.
Yeah,
it made me very upset as a fan.
Yeah, so it's like little things that the characters have that the fans love. I think that would need to be something that's established before anything like that gets changed, if it was to get changed.
And obviously you would want to be consulted on everything.
Oh, yeah. If I don't have a hand in literally everything that is made, I won't agree. Unless Christopher Nolan does it and gets Hans Zimmer to do the music. Then I'd probably do it for free. So, like, you know what? You guys got this. It's fine.
Yeah. Right. Well, I want to thank you very much for your time. This was Ella's first ever interview.
I'm honored.
So we thank you very much. We'll be putting all of this up on our website. All right. So tell everybody that we're signing off.
We are signing off.
Okay. Just, you know, thanks for listening. We are the Nerds That Know.
Thanks for listening.
Hello, Nerds That Know. Bobby is here, and we are doing a special AfterCon interview with the newest member of the Nerds That Know family, Miss Ella, our interviewer and official press pass bearer. All right, Ella, you want to say something other than showing your press pass to the recording?
Hi.
Okay, so how was your very first day of your very first con ever?
The first few minutes of it was really confusing. Well, the first few hours, I should say, because there were a lot more people. But as soon as we went out and got tea and pretzels and then came back, it got a lot less stressful, honestly. It became, there was less people there. It was a lot less busy, and it was a lot easier to look around.
Okay, so because you have the coolest aunt ever, you got to try VR for the first time today. How was that?
I love it. I loved it.
Yeah? What did you do?
I don't remember what it's called, but I think it was...
Well, what did you actually do in the game?
Well,
like, we have pictures of the name of the game and everything, but what did you actually do?
I had these weird handle thingies, and a song was playing. I had headphones in, I think.
You had headphones on.
Okay. A song was playing, and I would have to hit boxes or cut them in half in the direction that arrows on the boxes were pointing, or the dots. The dots were usually in the middle, so I had to hit in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Was it in time to the music?
Yes.
All right. And you loved it?
I did. I loved it.
Okay. And you're going to come back tomorrow, and you're going to do it again, and you're going to kick Uncle Frank's butt?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
All right. So I took down what your score was today, and then we will compare it with what your score is tomorrow.
Okay. I'll definitely do better because this was my first time. Next time's going to be my second time, so it'll be a bit easier.
Okay. Now, you also did interviews today.
I did. Those were fun. I got to meet the original Captain Marvel. Jackson Bostwick. And then I got to meet a writer who wrote a graphic novel about the modern world using science. It's all based off of science. She's done doctors and...
Psychologists, criminologists. Yeah, and we're going to look and see... Mimi's going to read it first and see if it works for you. And then if so, don't open that. Then you'll read it next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else? What was the coolest thing other than the VR today?
I'd honestly, I think getting my Harry Potter mystery box is...
Which we will be opening shortly.
Is exciting.
Okay, what about the fact that everybody liked our costumes and understood both of the references?
It was amazing. It was good to actually have someone be like, oh, you guys are Poison Ivy and Dr. Isley.
Yeah, and they understood why we were there, like, together with our costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you feel very grown up?
I felt, yes.
Yeah, with your special custom-made Dr. Isley jacket?
Yes.
Okay, so, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being, I'm never going to another con again, they're stupid, 10 being, tell me when the next con is, I'll be there 20 hours early. What did you think of con today?
I'd say a 20.
All right. Fantastic. So we'll be at con again tomorrow and we'll see how that goes because we're bringing more of the children type people with us.
We're bringing the crazies.
I already brought the crazies. You and I were here today.
Well, I'm...
All right. And on that note, I think it's time to open the Harry Potter mystery box. All right. Tell everybody goodbye.
Bye.
We'll talk to you next time.